Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, February 24th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Democratic former legislative candidate says three unmarked security guards assaulted her and dragged her out of a Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee meeting on Saturday. Owyhee County joins Trump reboot of ICE program to target immigrants. Idaho House Speaker Mike Moyle introduces felony malicious lies bill with 5-year prison maximum, $100,000 fines, and Governor Brad Little taking input on signing or vetoing private school tax credit bill HB 93. He has until Thursday to decide. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. State and county law enforcement agencies in five states, including Idaho, have signed up for the Trump administration's reboot of a task force program that allows local officers to challenge people on immigration status during routine stops and then arrest them for deportation. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement dropped the program in 2012 because of the racist way law enforcement agencies carried it out, which cost agencies tens of millions of dollars in lawsuits. ICE said it signed 11 new agreements for its task force model with law enforcement agencies in five states between February 17th and February 19th. The agencies which signed on are the Florida State Highway Patrol, the St. Lucie County, Florida Sheriff's Office, the Owyhee County, Idaho Sheriff's Office, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, three statewide Oklahoma law enforcement agencies, the Texas Attorney General's Office, the Douglas County, Nevada Sheriff's Department, and the Goliad and Smith County Sheriff's Departments in Texas. The Obama administration's Justice Department investigated the task force program in 2011 and found the Arizona task force had committed widespread racial profiling against Latino communities. The task force programs are different from cooperation agreements local sheriffs and police departments sign with ICE, agreeing to help with the investigation of people already arrested and in local jails. ICE describes the task force program as a force multiplier because ICE trains and supervises local officers so they can implement immigration enforcement into their daily patrols. Florida Immigrant Coalition policy consultant Thomas Kennedy told the state's newsroom they're going to stop somebody for a routine traffic violation or loitering and ask about immigration status. That's bad for civil rights. It's bad for our community, for trust between law enforcement and the community, for reporting of crimes. But it also exposes municipalities and police departments to litigation. Trump border czar Tom Homan got applause when he told a group of county sheriffs at a Washington, D.C. conference this month, if they get sued, the Homeland Security Department will help them out and defend them. Idaho Governor Brad Little is taking public input on whether or not he should sign the private school tuition bill the legislature recently passed. The $50 million tax credit bill from Republican Representative Wendy Horman of Idaho Falls that would give $5,000 tax credits to parents to send each of their children to private schools, including religious schools, also includes a $7,500 tax credit for students with disabilities. The Senate passed House Bill 93 on a 20-15 vote last week, sending it to the governor's desk. The Senate vote was not veto-proof. Governor Little said during his State of the State address in January he would support a $50 million private school tuition bill this session if it's fair, responsible, transparent, and accountable. Horman's bill says it will not regulate private or religious schools that benefit from the taxpayer money. The bill says The provisions of this section shall not be construed to permit any government agency to exercise control or supervision over any non-public school or to give the state authority to regulate the education of non-public school students. A non-public school shall not be required to alter its creed, practices, admissions policy, or curriculum in order to accept students whose payment of tuition or fees stems from a refundable tax credit under this section. Governor Little has until Thursday to sign the bill, veto it, or let it go into effect without his signature. The Idaho Press reports the governor has publicized his main office number, 208-334-2100, as one of the options for giving feedback on House Bill 93 to the governor. That number again is 208-334-2100. Idaho House Speaker Mike Moyle of Starr has introduced a bill to make it a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison to knowingly communicate a malicious lie about another person. The bill's penalties also come with a maximum fine of $100,000. The bill says if someone is convicted of criminal libel, that person would also be responsible to provide restitution to the victim for costs incurred because of the false statement. The bill criminalizes actual malice in lying, which is defined as knowing the statement is false or with reckless disregard as to whether or not the statement is false. Idaho currently has a misdemeanor libel law, which defines malicious defamation as statements which are intended to, quote, blacken the memory of one who is dead or to impeach the honesty, integrity, virtue, or reputation, or publish the natural or alleged defects of one who is alive and thereby expose him to public hatred, contempt, or ridicule, unquote. That law has a maximum sentence of 6 months in jail or a $5,000 fine. Here's Mike Moyle introducing his bill in the House State Affairs Committee on Friday.
This one deals with the malicious lies. One of the things you saw, and I will use maybe an example of Representative Young. In her campaign, stuff was sent out that was totally lie. They were all out lies. They weren't truthful. My concern was, how do you capture that, right? Because I'm a firm believer in the First Amendment right. But I also believe that our founding fathers did not include the First Amendment being able to lie about somebody. And I'll give you an example. When you were in your civics class, when you were in junior high, they probably gave you the same example they gave us, is you can't go into a crowded room and yell fire when there's no fire because people could get hurt, right? There's still boundaries on the First Amendment. And I think one of those boundaries is when you say things about people that you know are absolutely not true, and then you utilize that to pummel them. That's what this bill does. It creates a new felony of criminal libel, higher standard, and says, you know, if you knowingly go out and say something about somebody that's not truthful, then they can come after you for repayment, restitution. We can go into it more later if you introduce the BRS. I hope you do, so people can have a look at it and see how far it goes and what it does do. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Does anyone have any questions? Representative Mickelson.
For a motion, Madam Chair,
go ahead.
I move we introduce RS 31858.
We have a motion to introduce RS 31858. Is there any discussion?
Chair.
All in favor, say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your light. Representative Skog.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Speaker, when you come back for a hearing, should this get a hearing, I want to hear the legal analysis around how this gets around the First Amendment issues that you know people have asked you about. I need to hear that, maybe something from one of your attorneys. Mm-hmm. And then also, I have concerns that you make every liar a felon, and then we're going to be in a lot of trouble, not enough room in our jails. So that's just for future reference.
Thank you, good gentleman.
Any other discussion or questions? Okay, we have a motion to introduce RS 31858. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
And that was House Speaker Mike Moyle of Starr introducing his malicious lie felony bill in the Idaho House State Affairs Committee on Friday. You also heard from Republican Representative Bruce Gogg of Nampa, and Republican Representative Heather Scott of Blanchard was chairing the meeting. You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is brought to you in part by One World Cafe, specializing in craft coffee, fresh baked pastries, artisan sandwiches, weekend brunch, wine, beer, and cider on tap. One World Cafe has a web calendar for upcoming live events and a campus location in the Janssen Engineering Building.
KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including peace and human rights.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Radio,
you've got it
right.
Community radio,
listen,
you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio for you, Moscow.
Fight back, radio. It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support. So keep on listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Conservation of public lands remains a top priority for Westerners, according to a new poll. The Conservation in the West poll from Colorado College has looked at sentiments toward public lands for 15 years. Eight Mountain West states were part of the research this year, including Idaho. 90% of Gem State respondents told researchers they want to keep national monuments from the last decade in place. Pollster Lori Weigel with New Bridge Strategy says Republicans, Democrats, and Independents agree on this issue.
This is another case where we see really across the partisan spectrum that respondents are telling us, no, we want to keep those national monument designations in place.
Idaho voters voiced concerns about habitat loss for fish and wildlife in the poll and also said they oppose reducing protections for rare plants and animals on the endangered species list. And nearly three-quarters of respondents said they support only allowing energy companies to drill where there is a high likelihood of oil and gas. Idahoans are less worried about climate change than other parts of the West, with 43% saying it's an extremely or very important issue. However, pollster Dave Metz with FM3 Research notes Idahoans feel more confident in local officials' response to the crisis than in states like Arizona or New Mexico.
The highest degrees of confidence we see are in Utah, Wyoming, and Idaho. There is the geographic difference there. More northern states within the region are expressing more confidence than some of the southern states.
Metz adds their support for Native American tribes to have a bigger role in managing public lands.
But that sentiment cuts across racial and ethnic lines. It's basically 9 out of 10 voters, regardless of their racial and ethnic background, who want to see more participation from tribes in making these kinds of decisions.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
A former Democratic legislative candidate says she was assaulted by three plainclothes security agents Saturday, who dragged her out of a legislative town hall in Coeur d'Alene put on by the Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White said the three men who dragged the woman out were employed by the private security firm Lear Asset Management and said they were likely working in violation of Coeur d'Alene City Code that requires all private security guards to work with the word security in at least 4-inch tall letters on their back. Teresa Borenpohl, who ran as a Democratic candidate for legislative seats in the Coeur d'Alene area in 2020, 2022, and 2024, admitted she spoke out of turn at a meeting at the Coeur d'Alene High School auditorium where the supporters of right-wing legislators were cheering and those opposed to their positions were jeering. Borenpohl told the Coeur d'Alene press, "Nobody was telling people cheering to stop cheering, but anytime there was a negative reaction, we were scolded. I felt comfortable expressing displeasure because people were very openly expressing their appreciation for the legislators there." When Republican Representative Ron Mendive of Coeur d'Alene said he helps take care of Idaho's public lands as House Resources and Conservation Committee chair, Borenpohl said she screamed, "Phil Hart stole timber from public land." Boren Poll was referring to a 2020 incident in which Republican Senator Phil Hart of Kellogg had to reimburse the state $2,450 for logs he illegally took from state school endowment land to build his home. At the time, he was a House member, and he was later out of the legislature after the 2012 election until he won the District 2 Senate seat in 2022. Boren Poll said Kootenai County Sheriff Rob Norris approached her, but she didn't recognize him because he was in jeans and a baseball cap. She said the first thing she can remember him saying to her was, "Do you want me to pepper spray you?"
My name is Robert Norris. I'm the sheriff of this county. We're asking you to leave on video. Please get up or be escorted out.
Viral video shows Norris making multiple attempts to remove Boren Poll from her seat by grabbing her arm with both hands. She said after she declined to leave, Norris turned to three unidentified security workers and said, "Get her." The video shows Boren Poll repeatedly asking the men to identify themselves. It also shows her asking Sheriff Norris if the men were his deputies, and Norris did not reply.
Sheriff Norris, this gentleman is assaulting me. This man is assaulting me. This man is assaulting me. Is this your deputy? Is this your deputy? No, don't touch us. Is he a deputy? These are deputies. Who the hell are these men?
You are hurting her. You're not a deputy.
Just cooperate, it'll be 100 times
better. Yeah, that's what they say to rape victims.
Boren Poll says she remembers hands coming from everywhere, pulling her from her seat and pushing her to the auditorium floor. She said she heard friends defending her nearby, while across the auditorium aisle, people jeered her and applauded the men who were trying to remove her from the event. She said the men dragged her down the aisle and her shirt almost came off and she lost a shoe. Boren Poll told the Coeur d'Alene Press, "It was really violent and really traumatic. They had grabbed my wrists. They contorted my body. They lifted me up and dropped me down. My only thought was to maintain my airway. They were forcing me down on the ground. I just wanted to make sure I could still breathe. I think that my civil rights were stripped from me in that moment in a really embarrassing way. Admittedly, I spoke out of turn, but do we live in a country where you speak out of turn and the result is three men assaulting a woman?" Mary Rosdahl, who is a nurse who attended the town hall meeting, said she stood nearby while the men dragged Boren Poll away because she feared for Boren Poll's safety. Rosdahl said, "They came and took her by the arms and pulled her, and then took her by her feet and pulled her into the aisle. They laid her face down on the floor. Two of them were on top of her, holding her down, and then eventually they boosted her up on her feet and dragged her out of the room. I was worried about her handling." Not knowing if she was being kidnapped, Boren Poll said she bit one of the men who was dragging her. She said, "I was so confused and I didn't know if I was being arrested by the sheriff's office or if I was being kidnapped." Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White said his officers declined a request from the Kootenai County Sheriff's Department to cite Boren Poll for trespassing. White said, "We respectfully informed the sheriff that since this was an open-to-the-public event, we are not going to arrest anyone for trespassing. That would be inappropriate." He said city police cited Boren Poll for misdemeanor battery because of the bite and released her, but he said that charge is under review as city police get access to numerous video recordings of the event. White said police and prosecutors will consider possible charges against the security guards. The Coeur d'Alene City Council approved an ordinance last year that requires security agents wear uniforms clearly marked with the word security at least 1 inch high on the front and at least 4 inches high on the back. Lear Asset Management owner Paul Truett of Hayden had spoken against the new ordinance at a city meeting when the council proposed it last summer. White said Paul Truett contacted me and told me they wouldn't be doing any security of that type in our city, and yet here they are. When the Coeur d'Alene Press contacted Paul Truett by phone over the weekend, he declined to comment. Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris claimed to the Coeur d'Alene Press he had no knowledge of security personnel at the meeting or who hired them, but at the same time defended their action, saying they were reacting to Borenpohl's action, and, quote, the reason why that occurred was because people came to disrupt. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief White says it's not appropriate for a police officer to forcefully remove a person from a town hall for speaking out of turn or shouting. He said, I don't care what your message is, especially in an open town hall like this. We have to respect everybody's First Amendment rights, regardless of what side of the aisle you happen to sit on. I know there's some people up here who probably disagree with me and would like us to take action and maybe try to silence a voice that's in opposition to theirs at a town hall. But there's very little we can do with regard to First Amendment protections. We have to make sure people have the protections afforded them under the Constitution. Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee Chair Brent Regan said he did not know which company provided security for the town hall event. Regan said since Sheriff Norris was there, nothing was done without him being aware. White said Coeur d'Alene police were stationed in the high school parking lot because of a social media threat against one of the legislators, but they were never told about the ongoing incident inside until it was over. Sheriff Norris said the Coeur d'Alene Police Department did not have jurisdiction. He said they would not have come into a private event held at the high school, and the person who secures the location gets to set the protocols of what occurs. Police Chief White said the Coeur d'Alene High School is well within his agency's jurisdiction, and officers would have gone inside if they had been called sooner. He said, we would have stood by to make sure no one was in danger while at the same time protecting people's First Amendment rights. Mary Rosdahl, the nurse who was at the meeting, said she's concerned the chaos will put a chill on political speech in Kootenai County. She said, it was a time for our legislators and the moderator to put forward their ideas about government, but there was no public feedback. They didn't want to hear what the community had to say. That was very clear.
A coalition of immigrants' rights and hunger-fighting groups is backing legislation to extend some emergency food benefits to farmworker families in Oregon. The 2020 Almeda wildfires, supercharged by hot, dry weather, left thousands of homes in southern Oregon destroyed. Rebuilding has been especially challenging for undocumented or non-citizen farmworker families who are unable to access programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Reina Lopez is the director of Pineros y Campesinos Unidos del Noroeste, a statewide farm workers union. She says at least a quarter of her membership reports going to a food bank over the last year.
It's pretty devastating that the same population that ensures that America is being fed, that a big chunk of them are food insecure.
Pekun is among the organizations supporting a bill known as Food for All Oregonians. It would create a SNAP-like program for Oregonians who can't access food benefits due to their immigration status, the majority of whom are Hispanic. The average Oregon farm worker makes less than $25,000 a year, according to state data. Across the United States, at least 1.2 million low-income immigrants can't receive SNAP benefits due to immigration status. Lopez says immigration status plays a huge role in access to many different types of support.
That includes SNAP benefits, but it also includes Social Security benefits, even if you did work your entire life here.
The group has made progress in gaining other supports for the state's farm workers. In 2022, Pekun secured Oregon's farm worker overtime law. And after the Almeda fires, Oregon adopted the nation's strongest heat and smoke protections, requiring shade, water, and rest breaks for people working outdoors. This story is based on original reporting by Amal Ahmed for Sentient and is part of a collaborative reporting project exploring a just and climate-friendly food system. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, there is a new flood warning that has been issued in effect until 7 a.m. Tuesday for portions of North Idaho, including the following counties, Benoit-La'Etá and Whitman. Streams have begun to slowly recede, but rates will be slow with additional light to moderate rainfall overnight into Tuesday. Expect many areas of slow-moving or standing water. Gauges have measured between a half and 1.5 inches of rain over the last 3 days. Snowmelt is also occurring or has occurred and will add to the runoff. Additional rainfall amounts of up to 1/4 inch are possible in the warned area. People should turn around, don't drown when encountering flooded areas. Most flood deaths occur in vehicles. In hilly terrain, there are hundreds of low water crossings, which are potentially dangerous in heavy rain. Do not attempt to cross flooded roads. Find an alternate route. The flood warning for the Palouse River near Potlatch, affecting Latah and Whitman counties, says that flood stage is 15.0 feet. The maximum river stage in the 24 hours ending 11:30 a.m. was 17.3 feet. The river is expected to fall below flood stage late this afternoon and continue falling to 13.3 feet tonight. Wind advisory is in effect from 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. Tuesday. For the Washington and Idaho Palouse, the Upper Columbia Basin, the Spokane area. Southwest winds 25 to 35 with gusts up to 50 miles per hour expected. Gusty winds will blow around unsecured objects. Tree limbs could be blown down and a few power outages may result. Saturated ground from recent rains may contribute to heightened potential for falling trees and power outages. Winds this strong can make driving difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. Use extra caution. The forecast for the Moscow Pullman area is calling for 80% chance of precipitation tonight. 90% chance of precipitation tonight. Rain before 3 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow. Some thunder possible. Snow level 5,700 feet, lowering to 3,300 feet after midnight. Low 37, breezy, south winds 15 to 25, becoming southwest in the evening with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Little or no snow accumulation expected. For Tuesday, 80% chance of precipitation, rain and snow likely before noon, then rain. Snow level 3,200 feet, rising to 3,800 feet in the afternoon, high 46. Windy, west winds 30 miles per hour, with gusts up to 50 miles per hour. Little or no snow accumulation expected. 30% chance of rain Tuesday night, mainly before 7 p.m. Snow level 3,400 feet, lowering to 2,800 feet after midnight. Partly cloudy, low 30. West winds 10 to 15, decreasing to 5 to 10 after midnight. And mostly sunny on Wednesday, high 47. Current temperature 39. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. We got Flashpoints up next, and Bex is in to play music for you with Spotlight at 7:30 p.m. Chia Pet's playing music through the evening, also 9 to 11, and more to come. KRFP Moscow Pullman.